The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello everyone and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. We're looking ahead to Saturday's racing on this edition. It's Hennessy Day at Newbury and it's Fighting Fifth Day at Newcastle. A fantastic couple of cards there to look forward to. They're supported by Bangor and Doncaster in the afternoon and we're on the taffeta in the evening at Wolverhampton. Every race live, of course, as it always is from 11:50 on William Hill Racing Radio with Gary Capewell, Craig Forsyth and Lord John Budden in the studio on Saturday afternoon. But ahead of all that, joining myself, Sam Norris, to look ahead to four contests on Saturday is Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yes, good, thanks, Sam.
Good. A decent start to the Hennessy meeting yesterday, Mick. Some pretty nice horses on show at Newbury.
Yeah, and I thought the ground didn't ride too bad on Thursday. I think rain is expected over the next day, so I think it's going to be quite testing for Saturday. We'll have to wait and see, of course, but I think I'd be looking for something who doesn't mind getting his feet wet.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's likely to be a bit of juice in the ground. Anyone particularly impress you on Thursday, Mick?
There were one or two, weren't there? Philip Hobbs's horse is continuing in good form. I thought that Stern Rubin was very impressive. The way Richard rode him so adventurously, and he just got into a lovely rhythm and just saw them off one by one, didn't he? They came and had a crack at him and just couldn't get near him. And so Terry Warner's got another good horse on his hands there. Of course, his most famous one being Rooster Booster back in the day, but he's got another one there. And Mordus had to work hard enough, but I like the way that he did knuckle down when Barry had to really get after him, and I think there's more to come from him. I think the ground probably was as slow as he wanted it. I think there'll be more to come from him on better ground.
Yeah, beat a reasonable couple of rivals in the shape of Charmix and, of course, See the World, who we
absolutely
saw perform the heroics last year at Wincanton.
Exactly, and, you know, I mean, apart from the second, the rest were just beaten off miles, weren't
they? Yeah, absolutely. An impressive performance from him. Just want to touch on Rock on Ruby as well, Mick. That's been retired this morning,
yeah,
as announced by Harry Fry.
It's a shame. I mean, he showed his class, didn't he, at Ascot the other day. He looked beaten, but like all good champs, he dug deep when he had to. And I think it was probably that extra effort of digging so deep that the old tenders just popped on him. And, well, not a bad note to retire him on.
Yeah, that's the way to go out, isn't it, on a win?
Yeah.
And a terrific performance. Only ever been unplaced once in the 2014 Arkle.
Smashing horse. Never really got the credit he deserves. So it must have been a delight to own. And I'm pleased he's retiring in one piece.
Yeah.
I mean, the injury is a soft tissue injury that will heal in time. And hope he enjoys his retirement.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. And another talking point that I do want to mention, Mick, and this is something we were talking about earlier off air. One of the rising stars of the weighing room, David Noonan, has caught the eye of most people over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, he's had 8 winners in the last 2 weeks. Absolutely made no difference whatever, losing his £7 claim last week. Had a 19-1 double at Taunton on Thursday. Very nearly made it 3, finished second on another one that looked a real reluctant heroine, but he nearly coaxed her home. But he's a real talent, this boy. If I thought he was going to stay as an amateur for the whole season, I'd be all over him for the Amateurs Championship.
Yeah.
But I can't see it happening. But I think he'll be a pro by Christmas.
Yeah.
And he'll be a contender for the conditional jockeys.
Yeah, absolutely. Looks very likely that he's going to write his claim out.
Watch this space, David Noonan, wherever he goes. And I've noticed as well the people he's riding for: Alan, Anthony Honeyball, Stuart Kitter, was a training road winner for yesterday, Johnny Farrelly. And the money comes for these horses as well. And you look at the form book and you think, what's that all about? And then boom, in the go. You know, there's some confidence in him. You know, these are stables that rely, that stay in business because of their touches, their land, and they've got the confidence to put him up. It was a comparative unknown to all except those on the inside who've seen what a talent he is.
Yeah, exceptionally good value for his £5 claim.
Absolute gift. Absolute gift.
looking forward to him riding more winners in the near future. We'll move ahead though to look at Saturday. There's plenty of great racing on, particularly at Newbury and Newcastle, and they're the two cars that we'll focus on. We're going to start at Newcastle with their big race. It's the big race of the year, of course, at Newcastle, the Fighting Fifth Hurdle, a Grade One over an extended 2 mile trip. We've just got the seven horses down to post here. Market fronted by Wicklow Brave for William Mullins and Ruby Walsh at 13-8. Seen that horse quite a bit on the flat recently. Last year's winner Irving is next in at 3-1. Top Notch 11-2. Beltor and Identity Thief 7's chance. Purple Bay 16's. And the outside of the party is Intense Tango at 20-1. But some good sorts at the front of the market here, Mick.
Certainly is. And we're a nice mix of age groups as well, with three of the the top four-year-olds represented, which should give us a nice, generation hint, if you like. Yeah. See how the four-year-olds are going to get on against their elders. Top Notch, of course, was just run out of it by the elder Irving at Haydock last week, but he ran a fine race in defeat, and he was an excellent second in the Triumph, and that was a really good run behind Irving last week, and my slight concern is for both Irving and Top Notch is that the race might just come soon enough. You know, they had a tough old battle in testing conditions, those two. And you just wonder how much it's going to take out of them. Of course, Irving coming back for more here, won this race last year, didn't he? And I think him being the older horse, he might be able to shrug it off quicker than the four-year-old Top Notch. But we shall just have to wait and see on that one. And of course Wicklow Brave, who's just been an absolute superstar, hasn't he? That win in the county hurdle still lingers in the memory. Just all of a sudden one horse appeared out of the gloom, just absolutely cantering on the bridle, and he's just held his form remarkably well since then, hasn't he, on the flat. And a good run the other day behind Nichols Canyon and Foheen on his return to the timber, and he's had a nice 2 weeks to get over this. Ruby's coming over to ride him, which tells you all you need to know. And he's going to take all the beating with Club Raven. He's going to be this selection.
We'll go over to Newbury now then. Of course, it's Hennessy Day at Newbury, but it's a good card all round. And we start with their 225 long distance hurdle here. Grade 2 event over an extended 3 mile trip. Five runners down to get a post for it, but it's a small but perfectly formed field. Cole Harden and Whisper, joint favourites time recording at 7-4. Thistlecrack at 7-2. That was a winner at Aintree as well last season. Aqualim is 8-1. On the outside of the party, Deputy Dan at 25-1. Obviously, Whisper beat Cole Harden in the Liverpool hurdle, but you did have to be taken with the way he won the world hurdle at Cheltenham last year. A couple of good contenders here, Mick.
Yeah, and they're both. In fact, the three main contenders are the three you mentioned, Cole Harden, Whisper and Thistlecrack. Cole Harden and Whisper have got to concede £4 to Thistlecrack, and he himself has got to concede £4 to the rest of the field. Yeah, they both have met on the last two runnings, Cole Harden and Whisper, the last two runs at Cheltenham and Aintree. And Whisper turned round a 14-length deficit. Into a winning margin. It was beaten 10 plus at Cheltenham, and he won by 3.5 at Aintree. So make of that what you will. Maybe Cole Harden, that was his day in the World Hurdle, and he just wasn't the same horse. Or is Whisper suddenly taken off again? I mean, you pay your money and take your chance, because they both got good records fresh. Be interested to see what Ken makes of them in the paddock, but the form profiles suggest they're equally as good fresh. They've both got good records at Newbury. Cole Harden's 1-1, Whisper's 1-2 in two visits, so the track's ideal. So basically takes your pick, don't you?
Yeah.
And Thistlecrack's not out of it though. It's getting that £4, and that might prove very useful. Bit to find on if you take the official ratings literally. But he's won after an absence as well. I don't think the rating does him credit, because his two best runs have come on his last two runs. The first, only twice he's attempted this trip. So he's got plenty more to give at this sort of trip. I mean, he was very impressive at Aintree, as you said. And then he went to Punchestown and ran a cracker in a Grade One over there. Both of those runs over this trip. So he's unexposed at the trip. I think when Phil Smith realises that he might be better than 150 horse, he'll soon transform him into 100 and 60-odd horse, and he might be worth chancing on his comeback run with a stable being in such good form. But it's a fascinating fascinating race.
Yeah, Thistlecrack then getting the pick for Mick then. Number
three. Just because he might be a bit better value. He's the market's going to be dominated by Cole Hardin and Whisper, and Thistlecrack might just get a little bit neglected.
Yeah. 7-2 then the price of Thistlecrack for Colin Tizard and Tom Scoot at the time of recording. We'll move ahead then to the feature race of the day, the one everyone's looking forward to on Saturday. Newbury's 3 o'clock, the Hennessy Gold Cup Chase. A grade 3 handicap here over 3 miles and a furlong. 17 runners have been declared for this one. Safford Arur heads the market at 7-2. Bobsworth is 11-2, the mount of Nico de Bonville. Smad Play 6-1. If in doubt, 8-1. Ned Stark, who snuck in at the bottom, he's a 10-1 chance with a young master. It's 12-1 or bigger prices for the rest of them. How do you work out the Hennessy this year, Mick?
It's a conundrum, isn't it?
Mm.
He's a sort of born again chaser again after he's went chasing it all went pear shaped.
Yeah.
It's a big ask, isn't it, for a second season novice, so having only his fifth start over fences, and I think at the sort of prices, we can look elsewhere for a bit of value, can't we?
Yeah.
I mean, he's failed to complete twice. He has both of them, strange enough, with Connie Gree in the race. Well, that's got a bearing with his technique, I don't know. He did win the other two, and he was very impressive at Aintree. He's obviously high class, but to concede £7 and upwards to this field, he will need a foot-perfect round.
It's something that I think Coney Gray could have done, but Safford Arur perhaps not off top weight. If oddly enough, you'd maybe give him more of a chance with Coney Gray in the race.
Because, absolutely.
Because he'd be getting the weight advantage.
Absolutely. You see, Coney Gray's technique is almost bomb-proof.
Yeah.
He just never misses a beat. Whereas this horse still learning his trade over fences and just might be a step too far at this stage. But I think we'll just have to wait and see on that one. But I think at the price, I can look elsewhere.
Okay, passing over Safford Arur then. Of the others, Bobsworth, we saw him return to winning form ahead of stablemate Simon Sigg. Smad Place in there, we know all about him. There's a couple of useful ones in the field, Mick.
Yeah, absolutely. And certainly nothing wrong with his run at Aintree over hurdles, where he looked beaten, didn't he, and then battled back. Showed his well-being, and he did take this race off a £7 high mark back in 2012. And with the weights going up, it's given him a real chance off 11 stone too. So yeah, he's found his way onto the shortlist, hasn't he, Bobsworth? Too well handicapped to ignore, and it would be a very emotional win if he could land his second Hennessy after looking to have lost the plot completely. But it's that kind of race, I'm afraid, Sam. And we've also got Smad Place, who, the more rain that falls, the better for him. He loves getting his feet wet. And he had a confidence boost in prep for this the other day, which he didn't have when he ran so well in this last year. When he was close fifth in this last year, that was his first run of the season, where he had that nice confidence boost in Alan King's horses, remain in good form. I think he's got a very solid each way shout, Smad Place. What sort of price are you going to give me about him?
6-1, Smad Place, third in.
Well, there you are. It's not a gimme, but I don't think he'll let you down with four places on offer.
Yeah.
At 6-1. The race is full of enigmas. First lieutenants to a well handicapped to ignore, but he just looks as if he's lost his enthusiasm for the game. It looks so laboured and hard work for him. It wasn't a bad effort, but in the on the reappearance in Down Royal, but just looks like he's just making it look such hard work just now. You've got Fingal Bay, who, again, another one who, the more it rains, the better for him, but he's a horse I can't get right. The dark horse of the race, if you like, is If in Doubt, and he's yet to prove he's worth this mark over fences, which is £19 higher than when he won the Sky Bet Chase earlier this year. But he's very strong in the market. And again, he's another horse like Smad Place that the more rain that falls between now and the tape's going up at 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, the better his chance will be. And he didn't run a bad race, in the RSA at the festival. I think he's definitely got to go on the shortlist if in doubt, without being rock solid. He's still on his seven. Probably we haven't seen the best of him. The fact that he's so strong in the market from an informed stable swaying me as well a little bit, which it shouldn't, I know. But with a in a race with more questions than answers, I'm going to go with Smad Place and If in Doubt as my two against the field.
A couple there then for Mick. Smad Place and If in Doubt. Currently 6-1 and 8-1 with us here at William Hill, respectively, for the Hennessy, which looks like a fascinating renewal, as always, at Newbury. Just remind us, please, one more time then, Mick, your selections for Newcastle and Newbury on Saturday.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping that my old pal Wicklow Brave can land the fighting fifth. Ruby's coming over to ride him, and that was an excellent reappearance after some good efforts on the flat this year when he was third behind Nicholas Canyon and Fohine a couple of weeks ago. He's got Irvine and Top Notch to beat, but they both had a fair old scrap last week, and it might just come up a few days too soon. The rehearsal chase, dear me, this is an absolute nightmare with a handicapper absolutely clobbering most of the field. So I'm going to take a chance with the Progressive Wakanda defying a £13 rise for winning at Weatherby, having the temerity to win at Weatherby on his reappearance. And he's a horse who holds his form well, and he's well regarded at the Sue Smith Yard. So Wakanda in that 240 that... the race after the fighting fifth. Cracking renewal of the long distance hurdle, a grade two at Newbury, sees the world hurdle winner and the entry hurdle winner Whisper reopposing. They've met the last twice they've run, and this is the decider, if you like. It's like a Klitschko and what's his name, isn't it?
Fury.
So I'm going to let them slug it out and go for Thistlecrack. Won't be quite an each-way price, I don't think, but it's going to be hard not to keep out the frame. And getting £4 off that pair from his informed stable, good record fresh, he might just be the value of bet in the race. And, well, the Hennessy's are almost as bad as a rehearsal chase for setting more questions and answers. And I've narrowed it down to Smad Place, who was close fifth in this last year. Well, say close fifth, a respectable fifth, shall we say. But he has had a prep run and a confidence boosting prep run this year as well. And the more rain that falls between now and 3 o'clock on Saturday, the better for him. And the other one is If in Doubt, and the same applies about the rain, who has got some decent form in the book. Well, not a bad effort in the RSA. Forget the run in the Irish National, that was never going to suit him, and I think he's got a great chance off 10-12. So Smad Place and If in Doubt for me in the Hennessy.
Okay, mixed selections then for Saturday afternoon at both Newbury and Newcastle. Two fantastic cards there that really highlight the picture. We've also got Bangor and Doncaster in the afternoon. Then we're on the Taffeta in the evening at Wolverhampton. Every race will be live from 11:50 on William Hill Racing Radio with Gary Capel, Craig Forsyth and John Budden in the studio. So make sure you join us for all of that. My thanks to Mick Norton today for joining me on the podcast, and I hope you enjoy the action on Saturday, Mick.
Thanks, Sam.